Hey, friends. Thank you for taking 30 seconds out of listening to our good friends, Isaac and Angie Tolpin. Hi, my name is Aaron Smith, and I, along with my wife, Jennifer, host a weekly podcast called Marriage After God. After you're done being encouraged by our dear friends at Courageous Parenting, we'd love to invite you to check out the Marriage After God podcast, where our desire is to encourage you to grow closer to God and your spouse by sharing with you what God is teaching us in our marriage and by digging deep into God's word. We share intimately and transparently, and we love to go deep into scripture. Thank you again for letting us have a few moments with you. Now, please enjoy the rest of Courageous Parenting podcast, and don't forget to check out the Marriage After God podcast when you're done.
Welcome to Courageous Parenting Podcast, a weekly show to equip parents with biblical truth on raising confident Christian kids in an uncertain world.
Hi, I'm Angie from Courageous Mom.
And Isaac from Resolute Man, together pursuing the mission to impact 10 million families and their legacies for the kingdom of God.
We've been married for 23 years and are seeing the fruit from raising our 9 children biblically based on the raw truth found in the Bible.
We can no longer let the culture win the hearts of children, as too many from Christian families are walking away from their faith by the age 18. And it doesn't have to be this way. It shouldn't be this way.
We're praising the Lord that the ministry continues to expand and impact more legacies. We couldn't do this without you, whether you pray for us, give us 5-star reviews, or share on social.
Or even if you purchase courses and merch or join the Be Courageous app community, enjoy the coffee or support financially. We're so thankful you are a big part of the 10 Million Legacies movement.
If you want access to all the episodes, show notes, and other biblically-based resources, go to BeCourageousMinistry.org.
Join us as we start another important conversation about effective parenting in the fallen world. Hey, we're so glad you're part of the movement, and welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, guys. Today we have a really, really relevant topic. Today we are in June, and it is Pride Month in America and in a few other countries as well. And so we had just been traveling, and it just became a heavy thing on our hearts. This is kind of a response to Pride Month as far as being courageous parents, being biblical parents today, and how we should respond.
I think it's so important because this is about equipping confident Christian kids in an uncertain world. And if this isn't talked about, then you don't know how to navigate potentially these important things. Like, we have to talk about this with our children because it's inevitable that they're going to see elements of that out in society. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't the first one to give them an answer, they're going to come to their own conclusions.
That's right. So we're going to be diving into a bunch of scripture. Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind that we're excited to talk to you about and go through the word on is this word, pride. Obviously, choosing that word is interesting. They would choose that to be their word. I think that one of the things as I was looking into this, I was surprised by is that this is something that this community has been celebrating for a few decades, actually, since there was a really a violent raid upon a gay bar in New York back in 1969. And they, because that happened in June 28th, 1969, they had there's been a celebratory from this community of trying to remember what happened that day. And it's turned into a month-long thing. And so just for those of you who are out there wondering, why is this happening? I don't know about you, but I feel like it's been more the last 5 years that it's become more of something that has been more overtly out there as far as making its presence known and really kind of pushing an agenda on even our children, because they're making a whole bunch of products that are geared towards kids in celebration of them.
So we'll get into more of this and some practicals about, you know, what to talk to your kids about. But we so appreciate you being part of the 10 Million Legacies movement. We're on a mission. We've been traveling, doing homeschool conferences. The booth was super fun. We've been doing some new initiatives. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of exciting things for the Be Courageous app. The Parenting Mentor Program is going, you know, better than ever in terms of impacting people. Yeah. So we're super excited about that and all that's happening with that. Mm-hmm. So many good things in the ministry, but we couldn't do it without you. So BeCourageousMinistry.org is all the free resources, also the resources you can purchase that go to support the ministry and us doing it full time. Also, our incredible people who give financially, there's a give button there at BeCourageousMinistry.org too, and to help us keep moving and furthering the movement and expand impact. Our goal this year is double impact. So would you join us in doing that? By the way, even if you just pray for us, that's joining us in doing that. That's raising your hand. Right. If you share on social media, if you give a 5-star review wherever you listen, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever, it helps.
That's right. So you know, we're going to label this topic probably something along the lines of, let's not raise prideful kids. Let's not raise prideful kids. And that goes, that's like a, there's two different meanings to that, right? Obviously, we want our kids to be raised up in the way they should go. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. We know what God's word says about sexual sin. We know what God's word says about our identities and who we are in him, not in what we do or the sins that we commit. And that is something that is important when we're raising our kids. We talk about this a lot more in depth in the Parenting Mentor Program, especially in the first live, actually, where we talk about raising your kids with a biblical vocabulary and making sure that you are pointing them towards Christ to find their identity in him. And on the topic of socialization, since you were just mentioning the homeschool conference, socialization is actually an interesting topic. If you were to go look up the definition, I think that you would be shocked. So there's a courageous parenting challenge for today. But in regards to what socialization means and the process by which someone is actually learning their personal identity, they're learning the values, norms, and behaviors that are acceptable in their social society, then we look at what's happening the month of June, which is primarily, it's hugely in celebration of the LGBTQ community, calling it Pride Month, right? So you see a lot of rainbows all over the place, that because they have taken God's rainbow and turned it into their symbol for their community. And so it's this thing that you see everywhere. Even if you're driving to church, you're potentially going to see a billboard, depending on what state you live in, that is promoting this. And so because of that, we want to share with you guys some ideas of how to navigate this as parents. But also, there are some really strong scriptures in regards to being prideful. We don't want to raise up kids who are actually prideful in the sense of like self-focused pride, right? Where they have a prideful attitude towards other people who are not like them or who don't believe what they believe. So there's that element of raising our kids to be loving, but to stand firm in biblical truth at the same time, while also not wanting our kids to be influenced by the Pride Month and being full of that kind of pride. So there's like a double meaning to the title, right? And so, you know, one of the things that is really hard, I think that the reason why the last 5 years affected me is because I started seeing more and more stuff being sold in stores that I actually liked.
Oh, yeah. So inconvenience now comes to your center of your life.
Our precious Target, if you will.
Yeah, you got to vote with your dollars. It's so important, especially right now. If there's companies overtly supporting, putting, you know, social media out, you know, products and so forth, we do encourage you to vote with your dollars. It is hard to do perfectly, but do what you can do. And I think it makes a difference. Sometimes we're seeing that difference happen, play out when moms especially, you know, vote with their dollars, because a lot of times the purchases that has to do with kids are from mom's cards in their wallet.
Yeah, I mean, just this concept of stewardship as a believer is an important one, right? Like, God gives us the good gifts that he gives us. He provides for our families. Our husbands work hard to provide for our families. We work hard, right? We work hard at being frugal, prudent wives. And so being wise and making sure that we're spending money in a way where we want that company to grow, and recognizing that when we spend our money in a certain spot, that is actually helping them to further whatever messages they are, or whatever company values they have as well, because companies are much more outspoken about their company values these days.
And what's really cool is it enables you to start thinking about, a lot of you already are, but thinking about, what are the companies I'm going to start ordering from? Like, instead of buying kids' books over here, I'm going to buy them from Brave Books. Instead of buying stuff from Amazon, I'm going to go to Public Square. You know, start having your places, you know.
Instead of buying Starbucks, buy Be Courageous Coffee.
There you go. Instead of being, you know, in the Facebook group, join the Be Courageous app. You know, there's lots of choices we can make and choose where we spend our dollars. We can't do it perfectly, probably. It's hard, at least. But do the best you can. It really makes a difference. And it's making a statement to your kids. You can even talk to your children about, I think it's so important, whenever you're doing something harder but better, to talk to your kids about it, because you're being an example. Now they're in the know of your example,
yeah,
for them to work a muscle in knowledge about what they want to do in the future, which is, yeah, even though something's harder but better, they're going to do it.
No, I love that. That made perfect sense to me. I mean, it's that whole modeling what we would want our kids to do when they're older, which is part of the process of equipping them for an uncertain world. Because the truth is they're going to need to have more courage and be stronger in their beliefs and knowing what they believe to be able to discern all of the waywardness that they are experiencing like in the next 20, 30 years.
You could have a rhythm where you're driving to Target, but mm-hmm, then you're like, you know what? We're not going to go in, even though we need this one thing and it's right there and they have it. You know, it's an inconvenience.
We're going to drive farther.
We're going to drive farther. Or, you know what? We're just not going to get it today, and I'm going to order online from so-and-so.
Yeah.
And them seeing you go through a little bit of pain to do something better is maybe way more powerful lesson than, you know, a lot of other things.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think sometimes we, as Christian parents and adults, we don't necessarily stop to verbalize the choices that we're making, even though they're good and wholesome and godly and there's purpose behind them. But if we were to just take the 30 seconds and have the conversation while we're driving past Target, right? And just saying, oh, we're not going to go there to get the birthday present, or, oh, we're not going to whatever.
I think of, you know, in preparation, you're talking about propaganda. I think of back in Vietnam, for example, we would drop material in the native language that was propaganda for the United States. If we're ever trying to get, if our country's trying to get a coup to happen somewhere, or these kinds of things, sometimes in history, we will drop leaflets and paperwork that shows how awesome the better way is with America versus what their leader's doing and these kinds of things. And so that's how propaganda, when I was growing up, I understood propaganda from looking at history. But now propaganda is in front of us everywhere because of the digital world. And so what kind of propaganda is coming towards your children, especially during this month? But really, it's all the time, right?
It is all the time.
And so what's coming towards your children when you're driving around? What's coming towards your children when there's racks of things in stores you go to? What's coming at your children? They are curious. They're paying attention at the library you go to. All of these things actually matter, and it all becomes propaganda in a way, towards a lifestyle, towards a normalization of sin, towards a normalization of a wayward worldly lifestyle versus a biblical lifestyle.
And truthfully, it's all geared towards sexualization, right? And the fact that they have so many products out there that are geared towards children, like backpacks with rainbows on them and bracelets and shirts and all stuffed animals and unicorns and all these different things that, you know, you used to think of something that was much more wholesome, like God's rainbow when you looked at it. But now you hesitate to buy those things because you're like, okay, what is the meaning behind this? What is the company that's created it? What are they actually pushing on me? And that is something that as parents, we do actually need to be discerning about and be aware of, because again, we're funding those agendas, but understanding that the bottom line is truly a sexualization and a normalization, and it's beyond tolerance. It's at a place of true indoctrination and grooming of the next generation to be in that wayward sin. And we need to realize that there is a battle for the purity of our children's hearts and minds and souls, because we're talking about sin here. We're talking about addiction.
And physical.
We're talking about, and the enemy is a schemer. I'm going to bring Satan into this, because he is a schemer and he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He is also known as the father of lies in scripture. We know that he's a deceiver. He deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, specifically Eve. And to understand like his character and then to see what is happening today, there are so many parallels, so many signs. He's unapologetic and not even hiding anymore. And neither are the deep state people who are pushing agendas.
And so what does the enemy know? And these people that don't even realize probably that they're being used by the enemy, that are influencers in society and so forth, what do they understand? If we can get the next generation to doubt one area of biblical truth, we can unravel all the areas of biblical truth. And so there's these hot button issues in society. Mm-hmm. And if you as a parent are not directly speaking to your children proactively at the right ages and so forth about the hot button issues, then you are likely to lose out. That some other influence is going to come in and soften them towards an acceptance tolerance, meaning that that's okay too. I just choose different. Okay. That kind of thing versus understanding that goes against the Bible. That is wrong, but I can still love the other person, but I'm not going to accept that lifestyle. I'm not going to let that lifestyle impact
my family.
I also just want to share real quick about the parenting mentor program. So many families are being transformed by going through this. It's the 6-week self-paced program with live engagement from us and even direct interaction. So if you want to join us, here's a little bit more about it. You can find out more at CourageousParenting.com.
Steve and I realized that we were getting too comfortable with the world's vision of how to raise our children.
What Angie and Isaac have done in creating this is literally phenomenal.
This program provided awesome scripture-based teachings and just some really great practical applications.
This class has just really rocked my world.
It has given me a vision for not just the different things that we might focus on as parents who are trying to raise our kids biblically, like how our kids are behaving or what we're doing with discipline, but also the things of the heart.
We now have a game plan to how we want to raise our children. We have so many answers to the questions that have been in our mind.
It's not just these hypothetical situations, or it's not just this, here's what I think you should do. It's, let me show you where in scripture this is.
Do your legacy a favor and yourself a favor and just do it.
One of the best things that we've done this year, one of the best investments we've made this year, and I could not recommend it more.
We're no longer fearing dark days ahead, but we're so excited to raise lights to be leaders for the next generation.
Well, in understanding, I want to make something, I'm going to speak really clearly here. The enemy, Satan, has an agenda, and he does want people to be tripped up, addicted in sin, and in bondage. That's what he wants. Mm-hmm. The enemy wants people in hell with him and just totally in this bondage, right? But Jesus, he has the power to save. He has the power to break bondage.
Yes.
Through the power of Jesus coming and dying on the cross for our sins and then rising again from the dead. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in his name. There is power in confessing your sins and repenting and turning away from your sins and confessing the name of Jesus. And that is ultimately, like, there's this spiritual battle that is happening in the heavenly realms. We know this from Ephesians chapter 6. Please go read it if you haven't read it lately. But understanding, like, I get that today's topic could be heavy for a mom, right? We're already, like, aware, and we're like, Angie, why are we talking about this more? This is not to scare you. This is to equip you and to say, listen, yes, when someone is overtly coming towards your babies with a teaching, with an agenda, with a message to teach your children that is the opposite of what you are teaching your kids, which is the opposite of what God's word says, then they are an enemy. They are trying to create division in your family. They're trying to create a temptation for your sin, for your child to be led astray. That is what that is. Yes, that's an enemy. And God's word does tell us how we're supposed to treat our enemies. We're supposed to love them.
But loving them doesn't allow them to influence your family.
That's right. We don't sacrifice our children on the altar of loving other people, ever. And let me just say that you can love someone by praying for them, by being kind to them and tenderhearted, which is what God's word says, having compassion, which is going to lead you to go, you know what? I know they're acting this way because they don't have Jesus. I'm going to pray for their salvation. I'm going to pray for their eyes to be open. I'm going to pray for God to get a hold of them. But in the midst of that, you also are to hate the sin. That concept of hating the sin but loving the sinner is a hard thing for people who don't know Jesus to understand. But it's really simple when you read the Bible. Romans 5:8 is really, really clear. I'm just going to share it with you guys because it is so, so powerful for us as believers when we are able to go straight to scripture. Here it says in Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is love. Who could lay down his life? Like he even says here, it's one thing to lay down your life for your friends, but another to lay down your life for your enemies. It's true. And so what can that look like, right? That can look like taking time out of your busy schedule to pray, because time is a commodity, being willing to pray for them. But that does not mean that you go and you financially support an organization that is supporting that wayward agenda, right? Yeah. That's not loving. Another scripture that is really important for us to understand is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which I'm telling you, this is like this right here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, which means we get to partner with God in leading other people to Christ so that they can be set free from the sins of the flesh and be walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
By the power of the Spirit. But let's talk about pride for a second, because the Bible has a lot to say about pride. I think that sometimes Christians, well, what is the narrative that is preached out there is that those who are a part of the LGBTQ community will accuse Christians of being prideful and arrogant and haughty and unloving. But in reality, what I have seen a lot of is the opposite.
Yeah.
Is it's actually that they are the prideful ones that are boasting, that are all about flaming their sexuality on the outside and being inappropriate in front of children, when children, like all people, like, why do we even have to have our sexuality wearing it on our sleeve? That doesn't even make sense to me. And what it is it's broken people who are trying to get attention. They're trying to influence other people to be accepting of it. And the more that you're around it, there are studies that show the more that you're around that, you're like a frog in a hot boiling pot of water. You just kind of go along to get along and don't say anything against it and don't fight it anymore. And I see this from state to state when we go and visit places. But Psalm 10:4 says, "In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God." Wow, that's the heart of those who are prideful. When you struggle with pride, you are at the root of pride is self-sufficiency, self-independence. There is no God. What do we see primarily coming from those in the pride community, the LGBTQ
an anti-God movement. It is doing things against God's ways.
Mm-hmm.
And in a free society, people have complete freedom to live how they want. And I embrace that. Mm-hmm. I love America for that. But when we start to press and expect and take an entire month to proclaim and get it in the stores and get it everywhere and get it in front of the next generation's eyes and proactively try and influence and do things in libraries that are super inappropriate, and just this barrage of trying to influence the rest of society to be like them is challenging.
It is. It's very reminiscent of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we'll talk about in a second. But Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." So over and over again, we're going to see scriptures that call us to hate things of evil, actually, and understanding and being willing to call out what is evil. Another one is chapter 11, verse 2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom." And so I think that's a word to us Christians, like, you know, obviously when pride comes and they're declaring pride all the time, then comes disgrace. Well, of course, we're seeing a lot of disgraceful things happening in society today. But there's a warning, but with the humble is wisdom. So we need to understand that we are who we are, and we are choosing not to walk in sexual sin and not be walking in that life because God's grace picked us up out of our sin and saved us and put us on a new path. That leads us to a heart posture of humility, of understanding who we would be without God.
Yeah.
Right? Especially in this kind of a society. And so remember where you've come from, and don't be prideful as a Christian, but understand like it with a heart of thankfulness, and help your kids to have a heart of thankfulness for how God has transformed your lives as parents. And that's totally changed your family culture.
I can completely understand how people get there and how people love the things of the world and get swayed in directions of the world and all those things. I became a believer at 23. I had the first almost half of my life at this point as a non-believer, and mm-hmm. and having a different paradigm and understanding, not being saved, and I can see how people get there. But when you're walking with the Lord and you're raising up the next generation for Christ, you have a jurisdiction to protect your children in a big way. So we're going to look at 1 John 2:16. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him or all that is in the world. The desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." I love that scripture. In fact, I read that scripture to my family this morning because, you know, that is a practical thing you can do. Mm-hmm. That's a great scripture to read to your family. I did it, and I talked about how Pride mm-hmm. Month is beginning right now. You might see some things mm-hmm. out there. I did it age appropriate because we had all ages in the room at breakfast. But, you know, and I just said this is a month that's really celebrating mm-hmm. something that goes against God's design for relationships and goes against mm-hmm. what God wants. And so you might see these things out there. And mm-hmm. I want you guys to know that, you know, we're not the love of the world.
I thought that this morning was really appropriate because last night I struggled with insomnia. I was thinking about this all in the night last night, and we actually had a different podcast planned to go out today, but we decided after what God had laid on my heart in the night and what he obviously laid on Isaac's heart through scripture and this morning for the meeting that we had with our kids and just talking about what we were seeing and equipping them, because we have some olders that are going out into the world, they're driving, they're in the working world, right? Needing to continue having this conversation. But James 4:6 says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." He's going to give grace to you as you remember where you've come from, and you can have compassion on other people in a loving kind of way while still standing firm in truth, because you know the truth is the only thing that's going to set them free. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." And then it says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." And then it continues on talking about cleansing your hands, you sinners, and purifying your hearts, you double-minded. We need more than anything as Christians during this month, draw near to God and resist the devil. So on a practical note, here's another thing that you can do as parents. If you have small children, I just urge you to rise up and acknowledge you have parental rights. You have authority in your child's life to protect your children from exposure to the alluring, sinful propaganda. And what that means is choosing not to go into Target, choosing not to go into the library during the month of June, where they're going to have the big display, choosing not to go to the Pride Parade, choosing not to go, like you're going to make some choices so that you can actually preserve the innocence of your young children so that they're not sexualized at a young age. But then there's also this element of as your kids are starting to get older, you start having what we call warm-up conversations where you start going, "Yeah, did you know that the rainbow is actually God's?" And teaching them where the rainbow came from and whose it belongs to, that it doesn't belong to anyone else but God, and that it declares his promises to us. I think too that this whole, what we're experiencing today, because you brought up a good point, it's not just the month of June. Yeah. We're seeing it all the time. And it's becoming more and more of an issue as far as this just talking about sex and sexual things and sexual sin being overtly just pushed in front of children. And at younger and younger ages, there's an obvious grooming happening, right? Yeah. And I think that as parents, recognizing that, setting boundaries, having some really clear discussions, you and your spouse, about phones, technology, different things your kids are potentially going to be using later in life. Like, let's just start saying no to some stuff, right? When they're little. And I think, but I also want to encourage you, because there is lessons to learn in scripture, like in Genesis 19 with Sodom and Gomorrah, right? We're not going to read all of this chapter. I want to encourage you guys to go and read that yourself. This topic, though, is a rough one, because you've got Lot in this sinful city. When you read the story, he starts out, you know, outside the city, and then he slowly is moving inside the city, and then he's obviously probably a city leader or something, because he's sitting at the city gates, and he has influence. And some two visitors, quote unquote, come to visit him. They're angels, right? And they're there for a purpose, as we know. And then you've got a crowd of people in the city that want to know them, if you know what I mean. That's what the Bible says, know them. And this is a very raw, very hard scripture to go through with kids. And so I'm trying to be careful. But you guys, when the ultimate thing is understanding Lot was raising his daughters in that town. And there are some shameful things that Lot did. He offered up his daughters to those people who were trying to get him to throw out the angels, even though he didn't know they were angels, right? And which in my mind is just despicable. But then later, you know, God saves Lot and his family, and they're out, and they're headed towards the land of Zoar. And then many years pass, and his daughters obviously had been influenced by the life in the city and the upbringing that they had in that city, because they were depraved in their own mind. And when they were older, they wanted to preserve their bloodline. And so they deceived their father, and they got him intoxicated so that they could lay with him and preserve their bloodline.
So where you live does matter. Actually, putting your family in the right circumstances does matter. Proactively mm-hmm. talk to them matters, because Lot ended up doing these crazy things. And you mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, I really believe actually society today mm-hmm. is as bad right. As back then. It may not be as overt.
They might not be knocking on your physical door.
In the streets, yeah. but because of technology, and what's happening when no one's looking?
They are in your home.
I actually think that it may be worse, or at least as bad as back then. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, really an interesting thing. But at mm-hmm. the same time, when I say things like that, mm-hmm. it doesn't make me fear.
No.
It doesn't make me be concerned about the times I'm living in or my mm-mm. children are living in, because God wants us living during mm-hmm. these times. And we have an all-powerful God, so we're not to fear anything. But if you're inactive, if you're just a normal Christian parent that does the normal rhythms and the normal things yeah. that a lot of people are doing, then you're probably not doing mm-hmm. the extra things that need to be done because of the society yeah. we're living in.
Let me just list a couple normal things, because we say that often in podcasts, but normal things would be like putting your kids in school and not being aware of what they're learning, not being aware of what their peers believe and what they're talking about with their friends. Maybe giving them a smartphone at a really young age and not having any parental guidance in that process, not having anything protecting their phones.
Checking off the box. They're getting discipled because they're in youth programs. Checking off the box. We went to church this Sunday.
Delegation.
While those things are good, yeah. but then a let up on the real discipleship of your kids and right. realizing that, you know, dad, you're pastor of your family, and moms, you're an incredible spiritual leader as well. Mm-hmm. And so just the importance right. of the spiritual team and the family being the dad and mom.
I think that it's not just the things that you're doing, whether it's giving them a phone or putting them in school or in sports or activities. And, you know, it's being aware of the temptations that will come through those avenues and being proactive as a parent to step in the gap and engage, right? And when you see what's going on, being willing to say no, be willing to pull them out of things, be willing to say, nope, we're not going to do that anymore. And even so, like protecting your children especially when they're younger. And then as they get older, you're in the equip mode, right? It's like we talk about how when your kids are little, you're the teacher, you're the parent, you're training them. And then as they get older, that teacher relationship turns more into a mentor coaching relationship, right? And if you do a good job, you're going to like your kids when they're older, and you're going to be friends with them.
So it's high directive with coaching as they get a little older. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes some coaching, and once in a while directing. Then it becomes, you become a mentor. You know, let's say they're young adults, they're launching from home, you're like a mentor in their life. Mm-hmm. And then as they get older, you're probably learning things from them.
Right. So I just want
to... Because they're surpassing you. They're standing on your shoulders.
Right. That is the goal. That is the goal for sure. So, you know, as you're going about this and you're trying to figure out what are some resources, what are some things that I can do, Isaac and Angie, and I just want to encourage you guys, invite you to join us in the next Parenting Mentor Program. We have an entire session where we teach on purity, and it's not just on sexual purity. It's actually inspired by what Jesus said was the first and greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and looking at those different areas of how God created us as humans and that he calls us to be holy because he is holy. And what does it mean to love God with our whole heart, our whole mind? Our mind is affected by what we see. We can't unsee things, right? And so, but God can renew our minds by the power of the word. And so going through those different sections, what does it look like to be pure in our heart, mind, soul, and strength? And you know, you guys, we have a whole list of resources that go along with that in the Parenting Mentor Program. So if this is a topic that you're just like, I need more, I want to talk about boundaries. What do you do with family members who are living this wayward way? What about, you know, just even having conversations with people who believe different things that are in your family, join us for the next Parenting Mentor Program.
Yeah. Hey, and you know what? It's important to be a light, right? It's important mm-hmm. to share the gospel and love other people well. But we said this earlier, not at the sacrifice of your children. Just mm-hmm. remember, when your children are little, they're not equipped and ready to be evangelizing mm-hmm. to people that have a stern, you know, concerted direction in their mm-hmm. life that is wayward to God. But, you know, it's important that we realize that our family needs to be protected while we need to love mm-hmm. other people well. How does that look? It's a hard thing to do, but it's mm-hmm. important as a married couple to be thinking and praying about it. Like, mm-hmm. if you have a situation in your life, first bring it to God. And secondly, make sure that nothing is affecting your young children, mm-hmm. okay? And then thirdly, make a plan together.
Yeah.
And it should be to be a light while not sacrificing the family. Mm-hmm. Both of those are possible.
Let's let kids be kids and play with horses and cow animals and make noises and play knights in shining armor and cowboys. And like, let's let them be kids.
And ride a bike and make a jump and wreck.
That's right. And be brave that way. So thanks for joining us today. We'll see you guys next time. Hey, thanks for listening and being a part of the 10 Million Legacies movement. Go to BeCourageousMinistry.org for more biblically-based resources, ways to switch where you spend your money that support the mission, and information about the incredible Be Courageous app community for believers.
Also, we wanted to quickly tell you about our 6-week online parenting mentor program.
Isaac and I created a powerful biblical curriculum. Here's how it works. Each week, we release a video session with a downloadable parenting packet to make it easy for you to incorporate those teachings directly into your parenting.
This is an incredible self-paced program. We cover everything from tending to their hearts, handling obedience, to overcoming mistakes most Christians are making. But more than that, it's a supportive community. You'll have access to our private group in the Be Courageous app, live webcasts, and direct access to us.
If you're interested in joining our next online parenting mentor program, secure your spot now at BeCourageousMinistry.org. That's BeCourageousMinistry.org.